Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello? Good morning, everybody. Sorry, there seemed to be some kind of a problem with the phones this morning. This is Renee, and you're back at Renee's Heart to Heart. We are going to talk about today some of the reasons why I wasn't on the air the last couple of days. And it has me twisted up. I've talked about these kind of things before. I've had many conversations with all of you in regard to the responsibilities and the professionalism of others. And I realize for myself what's important and what I need to make sure that I take care of. And am I always right on task? No, I'm not. Even though a lot of times I'm trying very hard, but I don't seem to be able to accomplish it. So what I've realized is in the world of finance and banking and things like that, too many chefs in the kitchen, I guess, is the big thing. Too many people who have a say in what is going to happen and how it's going to happen. So I want to tell you all a little something that took place this weekend in regard to our move, what we planned on having happen and what actually did happen. I was told that the closing would take place on Wednesday and that I must be out for the closing to take place. So I got a pod and a truck and scheduled another closing for us on our new home. We packed and moved stuff to other destinations, turned on and off power and cable, etc. Not only did the closing not happen in the 11th hour, first it was funds, then it was a death in the family, then it was a bank issue. So here we sit, our majority of belongings in a pod, a truck out front that is waiting to be filled. No word on when this will happen, and I am to believe that this is normal. So guess what we talk about today on Rainey's Heart to Heart? That's right. We're going to talk about how one of the richest entities in the world, our banking industry, is so incapable of making a date and keeping it. So I do want to mention, though, more importantly, the best journey that happened this past week, even though we are in turmoil with everything else, is the fact that my husband completed all of his cancer treatments. He did his 33 radiation treatments and 7 chemotherapy treatments, which he got through with flying colors. And he's doing very well at this point in time, albeit still very sore. Lots of things going on in the throat department. His throat is still really, really sore, but and having trouble swallowing. But he did complete everything. He's getting better every day. So that's really what we're the most concerned about at the end of the day. All this other stuff will work itself out, but I still find it to be upsetting to think that you can't make a simple appointment with an organization as big as our banking industry and not have them, you know, do their thing. So if there's anybody out there who's a part of real estate, I don't want to hear this is what happens. I really don't, because that's not a good answer. And I don't want to hear that this is normally what does happen. You know, you just have to expect. I don't want to hear that either. Nobody wants to hear that from me if I don't deliver. If in the years when I was a waitress, if they didn't get their food on time, they didn't want me to say to them, oh, this happens all the time. You just have to sit and wait and be patient. In the years when I did housekeeping, had my own housekeeping service, people didn't want to be all ready for me to show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with my team and clean their house and not show up and have them call me and say, oh, well, you know, I'm doing something else right now, so you'll just have to wait. Did anybody want to hear that? No, they didn't. And I didn't tell them that. The point here is that once you make a commitment to somebody, you're supposed to keep it, right? You're supposed to keep it. And that's not happening. And there must be a reason. Is it because everybody's accepted, you know, the way they're doing things? Or is it because they can't fix it? I don't know. I'm struggling to find out in an arena now that is so messed up with short sales and bankruptcies and foreclosures and all the things that we've talked about on the show. I'm wondering why we can't even get simple things like this straight. This should have been a done deal. And if it wasn't going to be, then the person, me, in this case, that is trying to accommodate everyone else should have been told first. Am I right or wrong? I should have been told first. I should have been told that, you know what, Reen, don't do this yet. We're going to have to sit tight. I mean, if I'd have known that when everybody told me that I had to do all this stuff and be out of the house because they don't sign, this is what I was told, they normally will not sign on a new mortgage if the house is still occupied. And yet, in my lifetime, I've purchased two homes, and both of them had somebody in them, and I had to wait for them to move out after the signing. I didn't get to take the key and walk over to the house and move in. So it is what it is, but it's not what it seems. I'm very, very frustrated, obviously, and here we sit now with just a little bit of our bed, a little bit of furniture in the house. Table and chairs are gone because we had to take them apart to get them into the pod. Most of us are working with the same everyday clothes and washing them. And now I have a truck sitting in the front yard that I'm paying for it, but I can't use. And if I take it back, I just have to forfeit because you have, you know, so many hours because other people that you work with work on a true schedule. So if part of the world can work on a real schedule, why can't other people? You know, this brings us to the doctor's visits. You know, I met a lady for Spike's last chemotherapy on Monday. Her appointment was at 11 o'clock. At 12:30, we're sitting there talking, and I said, you've been sitting here a long time. And she said, yeah, my appointment was at 11. And I said, why don't you go up and see what's going on? And she said, well, I'm trying to be patient. I said, well, that doesn't quite seem fair. I said, yeah, I don't know why you can't get in there because I was just in there with my husband and there's nobody in there. So, and we waited that morning for over an hour. His appointment was at 9:15, and he didn't go in there until a quarter after 10. So, again, there you see in front of you what's going on. You see the fact that there's people waiting. You see that there's people being taken care of. And you can understand that kind of supply and demand has taken over in a situation like that. But in a bank where there are certain people who keep a daily schedule, I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. And if there's somebody out there who has a reason or an explanation, I'd love to hear it. Shelley has joined us. I'm going to bring her in. Shelley, you there?
Yes. Good morning, Rain.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Doing good. And you?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm not a real happy camper right now,
yeah.
But I'm here. And, of course, this is what pointed me in the direction for today's topic, because it's hard for me to understand, and I'm pretty go with the flow, but it would seem like, you know, here's what it would seem like if the higher up, the more organized.
Well, I didn't hear the
organized
beginning of the show. Can you,
okay,
without belaboring
well,
it, can
I,
you up real quick?
Well, I was told that the closing would take place on Wednesday, and I must be out for the closing to take place. So I got a pod and a truck, scheduled another closing for us on our new home, already paid some of the money on that. We packed and moved stuff into other destinations. You know, some of the other kids in the house moved out and took their stuff, and I gave stuff to, you know, other families and everything. Turned on and off all the power, the cable, scheduled to have my internet and my cable television and everything hooked up in Lake Worth by tomorrow. And yesterday was supposed to be the closing. So I don't hear anything. And around, I think, 11 o'clock, I call the realtor, and I say, what's going on? Haven't heard anything yet. I'll keep you posted. But there was problem with, there was a death in the family, so somebody might have to go away for a couple days. And I said, did somebody just die? No, a few days ago. I said, oh, so somebody passed a few days ago. I'm sorry to hear that. My condolences go out to the family. But, you know, what's the deal? They couldn't have told us this 3 days ago then that they were going to have to leave. So then it was an issue with banking. We no longer talked about the death in the family. Now it was something about funds. So it just kept changing. So in the meantime, here I sit, all my belongings, the majority of our belongings are in a pod. I sold all my big living room furniture, so that's not here anymore. No table and chairs because that's packed and put in the pod. I left our beds and I left, you know, like suitcase packed with clothes in it for everybody. And thank God the washer and dryer is still here. So I also have a truck sitting out front because there wasn't enough room in the pod to take everything, even without all the big furniture. So I got a truck yesterday. It's now just sitting out here because I can't move the beds or anything else until the closing. So I was told that I had to be out upon the closing. So I'm the one who made all these arrangements, and then in the 11th hour I don't hear anything and just get told, well, this happens a lot. Well, how does that help me today? And why does this happen a lot? What is the reason for the richest entity in the United States, the banking industry, can't keep a freaking appointment?
Wow. I see, and I've done several closings, and I was told to be somewhere at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was there at 10 o'clock in the morning. I didn't even know that this was something that happened often. I'm actually pretty shocked to hear that. I thought that these type of things were pretty much carved in stone, and that once the appointment was made, it was kind of, like I said, carved in stone. I've never heard of it being pushed off unless somebody was given way advance notice, but not finding out the day of. The only time I've ever heard of, when I closed on my house, the closing date was changed twice, but we always knew way in advance, not the day it was supposed to be happening. That's ludicrous.
Well, that's the way I feel. And I'm blown away. But I don't understand.
Now, if you hadn't done what you were supposed to do, there would have been severe ramifications. It could have made the sale fall through. But the other
Absolutely. Side
cannot fall. In other words, you weren't given any options. You had to be out. You had to do this. You had to do that. So you put all this stuff in motion. And then the other side just didn't keep the dates that were basically told to you were non-negotiable.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And then when I stood up for myself, which I'm prone to do, I was told that, I just had to understand that these things happen, and it often happens that a closing doesn't take place the way it was supposed to. And I said, in the 11th hour, I mean, I understand if last week, if it's really because somebody passed, my condolences again, but why didn't we know about this 5 days ago? I would have canceled the truck. I would have canceled all the other stuff. The pod wouldn't have been here yet. We'd have still been, in living mode. I even forced, nicely, of course, but I kept prodding the other woman who was moving her parents' stuff out of the other home because she wanted until the 12th. And at the beginning of last week, I was told, oh, you only have until the 7th. I said, how long have you known that date? Well, I mean, that's the date they're giving me. Didn't answer my question. I said,
right.
Okay, so then I had to call the realtor again for the other property and said, they're telling me I got to be out by the 7th. So then I even made reservations in a hotel to be accommodating and realized that I could spend the night here. So I canceled that because it meant taking the cat and the dog and, just so many things. So now, like I said, here I sit. We have the two recliners in the big living room, the two blue chairs in the family room, no table and chairs, no nothing like that, no cooking utensils. All the pots and pans are packed. All the dishes are packed.
What about electricity?
For using. Well, electricity, I have that being turned off tomorrow in my name here at this house. And I thought I was doing a favor, right? I left it on until the 9th, thinking I'd be out of here the 7th. And the other power got turned on in my name yesterday at the other home.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, and I'm being told, literally, that this, shit happens. That's what I'm being told.
So now that you've been told, what exactly is happening? So when is the new closing set for?
There hasn't been a date set. And, all for up until yesterday at 11 o'clock, there was never a time set. It was just supposed to take place yesterday. So that's why I started calling, what time, because I had it synchronized so that once it closed yesterday, then I was going to go meet with the other realtor and try to close yesterday. So we would have left yesterday and been in to the new home by last night.
Well, so that's why I think something wasn't being handled properly from the get-go. I've never attended a closing where they didn't know the time like a week in advance, and I knew exactly where I had to be, what office, and what time. So the fact that they never had a time, this guy that you're dealing with, I'm not sure if, I don't know if it's a competency problem with him or if he's just not being honest with you, but I've never heard of a closing being set for a date and not knowing the time, because they have to know the time in order to get that date locked in. So
My personal opinion
is you haven't been given a straight story, and that this guy, he's holding information back from you often.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the reason would be for that, but it's not very ethical.
Well, and then yesterday when I pressured, I was told that he had to make a choice between between keeping me updated when things changed, even though they might not be, you know, able, he might not be able to explain them, and that sometimes he would keep things from me and sometimes he would tell me and then I might freak out. That's what he said to me. And I said, well, let's see. Things along the way that will cause you to freak out, possibly unnecessarily in the end. So I wrote back, I get that. It's the fact that you insisted that we be out on the day of closing. It did not have to be like this. Do you realize what's going on here? All my stuff in a pod. There's a truck in my front yard. My home is a disaster. You know, all this stuff has been organized by me because I was jumping hoops to accommodate everybody else. I wonder if this would freak you out. And so, I absolutely understand your predicament, and this is the way it has to work, and you either have the choice of just moving out. And I said, really, are most people so financially set that they can just at the drop of a hat move all of their belongings and put them in a pod, which is expensive, or put them in a storage place, which is expensive, or stay in a hotel with animals and everything? Is that true? Is that really true? Is that the way it works for everybody? I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
What did he say?
Because nobody would ever move, Shell. Who would move if they knew they had? It's bad enough just doing the move.
Wow. Well, I got to be honest. I've never heard of a move that went like this. So for him to say it happens all the time, I don't know where he's getting that. I'd be curious as to if any of our listeners have ever experienced a move like that or know somebody that experienced a move like that, because I don't think that's SOP. I don't think that's the way it goes. And if it happens, I think it's a rarity. It's not, he's making it sound like, you know, this is kind of like just how closings go. And I've closed several times on houses. I've never had it go like this.
Well, I've had the bank keep putting it off and saying, no, we can't do it yet. This paperwork isn't in. That paperwork isn't in. I've had that happen.
I have had that too. That is part of the process. I'm talking about
right. Once
it's locked in stone. And what always made me suspicious is that you told me that he had a date of closing, but he never had a time. That's not possible. Because the time has to be set when the closing is set.
Yes, that's exactly
right.
So
that always made me a little suspicious when you told me that.
Mm-hmm. So in the interim, as I said, here I sit. There's a big empty truck that I went over yesterday morning and picked up sitting out front because it's for the beds, the last four chairs, my flower pots, all that kind of, my lawn furniture, all that kind of stuff is going to go in this truck. And the lady that did backflips for me now is, you know, obviously a little bit upset about everything. And I don't blame her. And, of course, she's not angry with anybody but Renee. And because I'm the one that kept calling and saying, please do what you can. I mean, I was never, you know, me, I was never rude or anything like that, but she accommodated me when she realized my plight, which is
right.
What you expect of other people and what we talk about on this show. And
right.
Here's the truth, Shell. How can we expect perfect strangers to care about each other if you can't make a verbal contract with somebody that's in a position to make you or break you? If you can't trust them, how can we expect any of these other things to be okay? I mean, you know, how do you, AJ comes to me last night, Graham, I thought we were moving.
Aww.
He's seven,
yep.
And he doesn't even get it. He's like, I thought, you know, and it's, the last two nights, you know, I can't cook. I mean, I guess if I'm going to be here all weekend, I'm going to have to hunt through and find some of the pots and pans and be able to start cooking again. I can do anything. I know that about myself. but I think it's unfair that I'm being asked to be a contortionist.
No, of course.
So,
of course.
Yeah. And I think, under the circumstances, that it is what it is, obviously. I can't change it. But I do think that people need to know that that's why everybody's so angry all the time, you know? That's why people
mm-hmm.
are so angry, because they're always sure if they do anything, they're going to get screwed. That's why people walk around with so much anger, because things like this happen to them. If you are, like I mentioned, the doctor's office. We had two doctor's offices in the last 2 months that we were at every week. One office every single day. You walk in, there's a beautiful wall fountain. Everything is clean, pristine. This place always smells wonderful. The young girl at the front desk is absolutely adorable. Mr. and Mrs. Brewer, how are you? How are you? How are you doing, Mr. Brewer? Is everything okay? The minute we walk in the door, she doesn't wait for us to get up to the counter. She sees us come in the door and starts saying that. There's never people sitting around because they run their appointments the way they're supposed to.
Right.
And they take care of people in, you know, they do the radiation. And it's a big deal. You know, you have to be put in a table. A mask has to be made for you. You have your own prescription, so to speak, for the application of the radiation. Then the other office that we go to, and this one is more invasive. It is filthy, filthy. In the room where everybody sits in these recliners that kind of sort of work with their IVs, the whole bottom of the floor is covered with ants. Spike said to me the first day, he said, you have to come in there today and look at the floor. I go in, and I'm not kidding you, Shell, hundreds, thousands of ants are running all over the floor.
And what is this office?
A hematologist office where they do the chemotherapy.
Well,
you walk in. The room
How can
is
it be
packed.
That unsanitary? That's
I
nuts.
Wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you. And nobody even seems to notice them. Then you walk in, and you actually have to say, excuse me, to the woman at the front desk, because she's on the computer and the phone and doesn't pay not one damn bit of attention to you. Doesn't say good morning, doesn't say go shit in your hat, doesn't say anything to you. And then if you do say something to her, she looks like, you know, you've just interrupted what she's supposed to be doing. If she's not supposed to be talking to the guests that are in the window, then she shouldn't be there, right?
Right.
She should be working on a computer someplace in the back of the building.
I know. I watch a lot of these shows, and the reason I watch them is because I learn things from them. But I watch shows like the first one I ever saw was called Tabitha Salon Takeover, and it was this, I think she's Australian, this Australian woman who's like world famous, and she has these hair salons all over the world. And she goes into salons that are failing, and she helps them fix their businesses. And then there's Bar Rescue and Restaurant Impossible and Hotel Impossible and all these different shows, and they're on different networks, but it's all the same premise. You have a failing business, and then you have this really, really successful person who's world famous, who has hotels or restaurants or salons or whatever, come into these businesses and basically take it over for anywhere from 2 to 5 days, and they rework everything, including the staff. And one of the things that's a common theme, and you see it happen over and over and over again, is that you have a staff that's so unprofessional, irresponsible, immature in many cases, and there's usually not in every show, but I would say in 50% of the shows, there's always one employee that is like death to the business. They're so negative, so into drama, that they actually perpetuate it amongst the rest of the staff. And usually this one person will be fired during the show, and then the people that are left kind of have a wake-up call. By the end of these shows, and it happens every time, these people are shown how to be professional, And these same people that were slackers and lazy and all these other things, by the end of the show, really care and start doing an incredible job. Once they have appropriate management and training. So a lot of it goes to, although you're being affected by the actual employee, it comes, and you've even said this yourself, it comes from the top down. If there's poor management, if there's poor training, people don't have a clear sense of what they're supposed to do. They're stuck in jobs where they feel that they're being given too much responsibility, or they're not being given enough enough inspiration to be professional, to be out there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you go into some of these offices and it seems to perpetuate, it's either a very, very involved professional office where everybody's friendly and attentive, or it seems to be the general tone that everybody is like ignoring people and not being professional. And that's what I've seen on these shows. It's usually one or the other. It's very rare to find it where you have one or two people that are really, really good and one or two people that are really, really bad. It generally comes down from the management and training down. And when you see offices like that, that means there's an issue with the management. They're not training their staff. They're not setting standards. It's so, so important in any business, whether it's real estate or a medical office or an attorney's office, you have absolutely got to set standards. If you do not set standards for your employees, they will flounder, not understand what's expected of them, not realize what their responsibilities are, and that translates in unprofessionalism and inattention to your customers.
Well, and here's one of the – everything you just said, of course you already know this, but this is exactly what I believe. But here's one of the things that I found in a doctor's office in particular. And this may be the problem in the bank versus realtors versus brokers, all this kind of stuff. There doesn't seem to be any connectivity between these people. A doctor who every office we've been in the last 3 years since Mike first got sick with the heart failure, with the carotid, with the aortic aneurysm, all this stuff, we went to all different kinds of offices. And we met some really great doctors. We met some so-so doctors. We met some great nurses that were friendly and cute and seemed to enjoy what they did all day. But on the whole, we met drudgery. We met people who you knew were watching their watch to see when they could get the hell out of there. And that, when you see that anywhere, as a customer, as a client, as a patient, as a guest, you feel that. You feel that. So if a person, we were asked to read a book written by the Ritz-Carlton, and honestly, and I know this sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but I could have written that book because that whole book was about empowering your staff. It was about telling your staff, I want you to treat this place like it's yours, like you are going to be out of business if that person doesn't keep coming here. Not that you're not going to get a paycheck, but that you're going to be out of business. And that was the whole concept of that. And it should be that way. I can remember way back, way, way back, so many years ago, training waitresses in the Rosebud in Ithaca, New York, a diner that was one of the busiest diners in Ithaca. 24/7, Greek guys who ran the place with steel fists, and, you know, you better know what you're doing. Otherwise, you know, I can't tell you how many times in the beginning they sent me home in tears. I cannot tell you. But at the end of the day, it worked like a clock. It worked like a clock because we really knew what was expected of us. And then when I'd train a girl, I'd say, look, if you walk by my table and my people are looking for ketchup, and you see me snowed, it's not your table, it won't be your tip, but if you don't bring us some goddamn ketchup, I'm going to fire you. And they'd look at me, well, but I thought we had our own tables. We do have our own tables. But everybody that walks through the door that doesn't come back again is a tip out of your own pocket. I don't care who waited on them. Do you not get that? And they'd look at me and say, okay.
Yep.
Team.
Yep. And that's the problem with people today, because it's like they always think if they extend themselves, somehow they're cheating themselves out of something. And that
yes.
that's such a lousy attitude. And that attitude is so pervasive, and it's one of the reasons. It's like any company that I've ever worked at, one of the reasons that I've always been recognized and kind of had a lot of things thrown at me is because the powers that be usually recognize that I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. I've never had a job thrown at me where I've said, well, that's so-and-so's job, or that's not my responsibility. If somebody gives me a task, I get it done, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I find out how to do it, and I'm respectful to people. And if, you know, if somebody, I don't care if somebody's 20 years younger than me, older than me, man, woman, whatever, you know, if somebody knows more than me, I'm going to be respectful to them, you know, and
mm-hmm.
And I see such a lack of that in so many people in the business place. I see people that I work with, like, I ask them questions, and it's like deer's in the headlight. It's like, oh, my God, this is your job. How do you not know the answer to that question? And they're like, well, nobody ever explained it to me. And I'm like, well, why didn't you ask then? Or what, did you let your boss know that you don't know how to do that? Well, no, it's his responsibility to make sure. I'm just doing the best I can. And it's almost like they hide, you know. But again, that's training, because if they were adequately trained in the beginning, they would also be trained on if there's something you don't understand, this is how you go and get answers. It almost seems to me that a lot of people are afraid to ask questions because they don't want their bosses to know that they don't know something. And I got to be honest with you, that is one of the biggest mistakes. I see it over and over and over in businesses, all right? And if you have that kind of an attitude, you won't make it, because those are the people that I see get let go left and right. Because if you don't know what you're doing, it does eventually surface, because you're going to have that one account that you make a really big mistake on, and then you're gone. And I see this happen all the time. Don't be afraid to show people that you don't know something. It actually makes you more intelligent. Say, okay, look, you asked me to do this. I know how to do this, this, and this, but what about this piece over here? Nobody ever showed me that. Can somebody show me quickly, and then I'll knock this out for you? You know, so show a level of confidence, but don't pretend to know something you don't, because then you can't possibly get the job done properly. And that's one of the biggest things I see in business right now, is that people pretend to know more than they do, and they don't let people know when they don't really understand an instruction that's been given to them. They walk away, and they do the best they can. And you know what? You know you don't understand what you're doing. You're not doing the best you can. It's impossible.
That's right. Well, and what about the acceptance of poor protocol? What about that's the way we always do it? Or this happens all the time. Or you have to expect that. Why should I have to expect this? Why? I walked into my own bank that I've been banking with now for almost 10 years, and I was going to deposit a check to cover all the expenses that I'm incurring right now. Mm-hmm. And I said to the woman at the window, the woman that I always deal with has left there. So now we have one woman. I don't know what her job was, but she was incapable of making a deposit. She was incapable of answering any questions. The man behind the counter was trying to take care. He was trying to run the whole show, the drive-through, the front door, everything. And this is in a bank that is hardly ever busy. I've never walked in there in the last 5 years and seen more than five people in there. So I said, how long are you going to make me wait? This is a local bank. Can I have the cash value of this check in my account immediately? Oh, well, he'll have to tell you that. So I wait for him. He runs the check through. It'll be held for 2 days, Mrs. Brewer. I said, why? There's a balance in the bank. Everything should be fine. And today is Friday. So that means you're telling me that Saturday and Sunday, of course, won't count. So I won't get the cash value of this until maybe Tuesday. That's right. And I took it back and I said, never mind, I'm going to open another account with it. And I drove off. So I went to another bank. The place was packed. There was a waiting line outside for their opening. I went in. Immediately, all five windows were manned. I was called up immediately. I was asked if I could do this, this, and this, if I don't have an account there. She said yes. She was going to let me cash the check at this bank where I don't have an account as long as I put my thumbprint on it and showed my ID. Then we saw that the date was wrong on the check. So I go back, and it was like crazy. She says, come back. She said, we'll figure out something. She never saw me before. I haven't banked with them for 10 years.
Right.
I just
right.
walked in the door. And there were three people standing in the lobby directing people. It was awesome. And previously, I didn't even like this particular bank. I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want to get into all of that. But the service was the best. Within 10 minutes, I had a new account with a debit card, which, by the way, I want to mention the other bank, my debit card is over with this month. I said, why haven't you sent me a new debit card? Oh, well, it's good for this whole month, so you should get it soon. Isn't that a nice answer?
Yeah. I know. I've been with this bank since I moved to Florida in 1998, and they've changed names twice, but it's the same bank. And I got to be honest, I hear nightmare stories from so many people. I'm glad that I stayed with this bank, though, because at one point I almost didn't, because they don't have any of these restrictions. If I deposit a check, my funds are available. I get partial availability right away, and then I get the balance the next day. But there's a high level of professionalism, and they did something to me around the holidays that really upset me because they screwed something up. And I got on the phone with the local branch couldn't fix it because nobody there had the authority. They admitted that the mistake happened, but there was nobody there that could do it. But they put me in touch with an 800 number customer support, and one of the upper-level supervisors that's over the branch was able to fix it. So even though but they were professional from beginning to end, even when they realized that this mistake happened and they couldn't fix it, they were very apologetic, and they told me what to do. They didn't leave me hanging out there like, well, there's nothing we can do. You know, and you hear that a lot in business. Well, there's nothing we can do. I'm sorry that happened. Yep. And they almost have an attitude with you like, well, what are you upset for? There's nothing we can do about it. You know, no. These people were very, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry that happened. We've tried, and they did. They said, we've tried several times to fix this, but unfortunately we don't have the right permissions at the branch. Call this number, speak to blah, blah, blah. They'll get it taken in, sure enough. It took about a week, but it did ultimately get resolved. So I was always very pleased with that they were, you know, if I called and I left a message, I always got a call back, things like that. So I do see a different level of professionalism because people that are with other banks that I'm with, I hear a lot of these type of stories. And a lot of banks now, because the banking industry is still in trouble, by the way. I don't know if people realize that. The bailout that happened a few years ago didn't fix things. There's still rumblings out there. The U.S. dollar is still tanking and things like that. If you look at world values, you look at the euro compared to the U.S. dollar, we're still in trouble, you know. And I think a lot of people are a false sense of security with regard to that. And one of the symptoms is what's going on in the banking industry. So a lot of banks are changing their protocols. They're charging service charges where they didn't. I still have no service charge, so I'm thrilled about that. You know, but a lot of banks are charging weird service charges. They're cutting their hours back. They're cutting their services back. And it's really affecting, you know, people. And if you're not paying attention to what your bank offers and looking at some of the other banks and what they offer, you know, it may be time to change banks and not wait for something to happen that's out of your control.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, while you're saying all this, I'm thinking to myself, recently all of the commercials for banks have been amusing, you know, where the guy comes in and
some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah, he says, I need a new debit card. And the kid behind the counter says, bows his head and says, okay. And he goes, well, and he says, oh, look in your wallet. He goes, you're kidding me. And he goes, no, no. So he looks in his wallet, and there's a note, your debit card will be in the mail in 10 to 14 days or something like that. And the bank teller bows his head with, you know, like he's just done him a great favor. And, of course, the commercial is, you know, don't you think we ought to bring some humanity back to banking and all
banking,
this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's a
and,
great commercial.
But the truth of the matter is, the bank that I went into last Friday is the first time in a very long time that, first of all, I've seen an active bank. Most of them, you know, because everybody does everything online, everything. I mean, we all pay our bills. Now you've got the iPhone that can take a picture of your check and deposit it. I mean, there's a million things. The bank building doesn't even need to exist anymore in most cases. So for me, it's all about, like what happened to me yesterday. It's all about communication. And, of course, that's what it all boils down to with everything we talk about, doesn't it? Communication. From mm-hmm. the bullying to the what's going on, the horrible story that we talked about last week with the young woman that, you know, that her baby was taken away from her because she was in the big plight. And instead of them actually interviewing her and actually seeing what the deal was for her, had her sign all the papers and led her to believe that now that she'd been there, if she didn't do what they wanted her to do, her child would go into foster care. Well, the child is in foster care. The child has been taken away from the other family. $40,000 was paid by the other family for this, you know, to secure this little boy.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be that kind of money when you first started telling me the story.
Yep. So here again, communication. Somebody should have counseled this young woman. Somebody should have heard while they were counseling. When they ask a question, they should have listened. And somebody should have looked out for her because she's the one that walked through the door. At that point in time, her baby, her life, her story, and nobody listened.
Well,
and that's
you have different scenarios that play out in something like that. You either have deliberate misrepresentation, like, here, come here, we're an adoption agency, we're going to get you to a good place and help you make the right decision. Meanwhile, they never had the intention of doing that, that it was all they had the intention of was getting the baby because they get a huge amount of money for it, and this was a deal. So they weren't interested in the emotional well-being of this individual. To them, it was product. They had a product mm-hmm. here, they were selling to somebody else, and they were looking to make a huge commission on it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's one scenario. The other scenario is improper training, where the individual put in that type of responsible role didn't really understand what they were doing, and so they didn't do it properly, and it was more of an incompetency, not deliberate incompetency, but incompetency from lack of training. So you have a couple of different things that can play. I think in this one, it was the first. I think this agency is unethical. I think it was quite deliberate. They heard what the woman was saying, and they didn't care because they had an end result in mind, which had nothing to do with the welfare of that woman or the baby, but to them, it was moving a product that was going to make them money. And those type of agencies should be shut down the minute they're recognized because, unfortunately,
yeah.
there's too many of them. And there's a lot
yeah.
of agencies out there that are out there not for the dollar but because they were inspired. You know, some of them were actually created by people who are adoptees, and now they're trying to provide that service for other people, you know. So if you're going to deal in something like that, you want to do a little bit more due diligence and find out a little bit more about the companies you deal with. One of the issues, and I learned this the hard way myself, is that whenever you're making a life-altering decision, such as putting a baby up for adoption, moving into a new home, things like that, like what you're going through right now,
sometimes you're partnered with somebody you don't have a choice about. You didn't pick this guy who's dealing on the house. But if you have the ability to choose, all right, do your due diligence. Find out the track record of this individual. Look at the companies that you're dealing with. Look at their track record. See if there's any BBB complaints on them, you know, Better Business Bureau, things like that.
Right.
And educate yourself before you deal with somebody. One of the things I noticed at the company that I worked for last year, and I still do part-time work for them here and there, I just went in last week and was working on their customer service manual again. And one of the things, and this is repeated throughout the manual for customer service reps, we say you must listen. This is something we talk about all the time. You must listen and completely understand what the customer is calling to complain about before you try to resolve anything. So listen carefully and ask questions to make sure that you are understanding what their issue is. Because I listened to, we used to have to listen to calls of the customer service reps and then critique them. And I sat in on this one call when I was working there setting up the manual, and oh my God, this one customer service rep, and she was really sweet, but she, in five attempts, did not answer this man's question. And I'm sitting there, and I'm ready to jump through the phone because I'm like, oh, my God, because he's getting more upset and more upset. He would ask a question, and she would talk all around it. So finally, I'm sitting next to her. So finally, I write down on a piece of paper, he's asking you blah, 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 just answer that question. She read it, answered what I wrote down, and he completely calmed down. But in five attempts, she kept talking around what his issue was because she wasn't listening. She had a preconceived notion of what he was calling about, and I don't know if she was zoning out or what the issue was, but never hit the target until I wrote it down on a piece of paper. This is what he's asking you. Deal with that. And she's like, oh, I see. You're trying to find out this. She says, hold on. Let me look that up for you. And then he was off the phone like in 2 minutes. But this guy was almost ready to cancel his move because she never answered his question. And that's one of the biggest issues. And, again, it was a training with her. So that's why in the customer service training, we have to tell them all the time, stop talking, listen, make sure you understand what the customer is complaining about before you start answering their questions because you'll just make them more upset with us.
Yeah, well, that's, I always loved the saying about assumptions. To assume is making an ass out of you and me. I've always loved that because that is so appropriate. If you think that you're going to be able to finish anyone else's sentences but your own, you're being foolish. Being very, very foolish. And a lot of times we do that, especially, Spike and I do it to each other all the time. And you and I have done it with each other all the time. But think that of somebody that you're talking to for the first time on the phone about business, about their story, to make the assumption that you know where they're going with an issue before they get there is foolishness. Foolishness.
Right,
so, again,
right.
It's all about listening. And I'll tell you something. I also see in this world, and I'm going to say this with love and respect to a good majority of my teenagers, everybody texts, talks, jumps rope, drives their car, does their job, does whatever they want to all at the same time. And a very, very, very minute amount of them can do it. But they all try. I have been on the phone with people, and I have known that they're doing something else. And
yep.
I say, how about calling me back, or I'll call you back when you have time to just talk to me. Because it doesn't it doesn't serve you. And and I forgive it because I always tried to do it. Everybody used to laugh at me at the Institute because I'd be on the phone with somebody playing solitaire because I have to have something to do with my hands.
Right.
And I always did that. And everybody would laugh at me. And I said, I'm listening to you because I can play the solitaire without thinking. So it actually keeps me focused on you. We laughed the other day when we were talking about waiting on table. And AJ said to me, I really like waiters and waitresses. They bring you everything you want. And it just tickled me to hear him say that, you know. And I said, yes, they do. Isn't that nice? And he goes, yeah.
Aw, what a funny
really
comment
nice.
To make. That's adorable.
Yeah, I know, you know. And I thought to myself, even back in those days when I was waiting on table, I would sing if I was really, really busy because it helped me not hear outside influences. And
you know,
this
is a little off topic, but sort of not, because it all comes, it does have to do with being distracted and stuff like that, but it has nothing to do with professionalism. I think maybe we should consider doing a show on distractions, texting while driving, things like that. The reason I'm saying that is, you know, I watch the People's Court all the time, and they at the end of the show, they're into this campaign now of going into driver safe mode. There's an app now where you put it on your phone, and when you're driving, you can't text. It just actually disables the phone when the car is in motion. There's a GPS on there, and it's called driver safe app mode. And a lot of businesses are being told to get this on their phone for the people that work for them. And everybody's guilty of this. Everybody answers their phone or tries to text, and they think, oh, I'm only going to send two words. I'm just going to say K or something like that. But one of their employees, there was a bus driver that was texting, I don't know who he was texting, just like a two-word answer to somebody, ended up almost getting in an accident, swerved to the right, hit a pole, and the pole fell over, and there was a woman, their employee of the station, of the show People's Court, was walking down the street with her baby, and the pole fell on the baby and killed it. So,
oh my
absolutely
God. That's
story.
A horrible story.
They showed a picture of the infant and everything. The baby, I would think, was 18 months old, beautiful little baby. And it was just heart-wrenching. So they have this major campaign now to get people to stop texting and driving. You know, you don't – and I used to do it myself. So, you know, and that's what the guy said who made the announcement. He says, I'm guilty of this myself. And he says, I'm telling you, he says, that – stop me literally in my tracks. He says, I don't text and drive anymore. He said, this is too close to home, and people don't realize you take your eyes off the road for 3 seconds, you could have gone 500 feet. He said, you don't realize how far your car is traveling for those couple of seconds you take your eyes away from the road. So that might be something we might want to statistically talk about on the show, because it is such a major campaign now, and I've changed my own attitude. I will not text and drive anymore. I just don't do it.
Well, I don't either. I'm not talented enough with the texting anyway, so I can't do that either. I like some of the new vehicles, and we're out of time, but I want to say some of the new vehicles let you converse with people or do whatever you need to do with both hands on the steering wheel. I think those newer
right.
cars are awesome in regard to that. But we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, and thanks for all the really, really positive comments that I've gotten on Facebook this morning. A little commiserating about my dilemma, but a lot of well wishes for my husband. And he is doing pretty good. Now we just have to get his throat to be not so sore. So everybody keep all the good vibes coming. We can use all the help we can get. But thanks. Everybody go out and have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow because it looks like I'll still be here. So God bless everybody. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Shell. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sweetie. I'll talk to you soon. All right, everyone have
Alrighty.
A great day. Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye, everybody. God bless.